Hey, welcome to Vive Church and our podcast. I know that each and every message you're going to find in this series, This Life I Now Live, is going to minister to you. I believe it's going to minister life to you as you receive it. So why don't you dig into the Word, prepare your hearts to receive revelation as God speaks to you today. God bless.
I gotta tell you, I am really excited to bring the third installment to this series that we're calling The Life I Now Live. Like, when you encounter Jesus, you just can't leave a table with Him the same. You can't leave an encounter with Him the same. You just gotta live differently. Or I would question that you ever met with Him at all. Like the life I now live, Galatians 2:20 kind of faith. You know where it says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave His life for me. I gotta tell you, this whole series around the reverence of God is a, you can't just approach reverence from like, oh, I serve you, God. I have the fear of God. No, it's a reverence. There has to be a proximity to it, because reverence is a relational word. You have to be in relationship with someone to fully experience that deep love, that deep respect for another, to revere them correctly. And so in this series, we're exploring all of those things, but I just got to prepare you today because this is a heart message. And I'm sorry, not sorry. That's just how God uses me. He uses me to just kind of make heart incisions at times so that your heart can have some life flow to it again. And there's been a lot of opposition, there's been a lot of tension, there's been a lot of struggles, there's been a lot of distractions, there's been so many things that the enemy brings into our lives. And the thing that destroys this notion of reverence is like an us issue. You know, like when we come into relationships, it's on us whether we treat it as common, whether we treat it as familiar. And society is doing that at large. There's a lot of disrespect for one another in society, disrespect for authorities, disrespect for pastors, disrespect for parents, disrespect for leaders. And so the stewarding of reverence is an us issue, it's an heart issue. And it's on us to cultivate a heart that actually says, you know what, I'm gonna place value on these relationships. I'm gonna respect, I'm gonna rapport, I'm gonna keep it, I'm not gonna lose it. And so I kind of wanna come around that today because, you know, this is the series that we're in, and we're not untouchable from a spirit of familiarity creeping into our lives. We see it happen in the Bible, and I'm gonna get you to turn your Bibles to Matthew 13. So Vox, Jen, you can go run and get your Bibles because I know you bring your Bibles and your notepads every week. But stay standing with me while we read Matthew chapter 13, because Jesus is with his hometown peeps. And there's something about being in familiar environments and around people that you see all the time or that you suddenly get in close proximity with that tends to breed this familiarity. And we kind of get a front row seat with Jesus being rejected by those in his hometown. And in verse 53, it says, when Jesus had finished telling these stories and illustrations, he left that part of the country. He returned to Nazareth, his hometown. And when he taught there in the synagogue, everyone was amazed and said, where does he get this wisdom and power to do miracles? Then they scoffed. He's just the carpenter's son. And we know Mary, his mother, and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And all his sisters live here. They live right here among us. Where did he learn all these things? And they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. And then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his hometown and among his own family. And so he did only a few miracles there because of their unbelief. I want to preach to you a message today that I've entitled, Jesus Ain't your homie. Jesus ain't your homie. Yeah, there's a level of friendship with God that we get the privilege of. He says, I call you friends, no longer servants. But there's a reverence in our heart in which we should steward that friendship. And it's not one of familiarity. And so I just want to come around this today and I just want to pray for you. Father, I just thank you that your word will go forth as it does, not returning to you void, that it will purpose and produce everything you purpose and plan it to. So Father, we give you permission. We say, have your way in our hearts. We open our hearts right now for you to peek in and see and just touch the areas of our lives that need to begin to change. God, we give you permission and we thank you for what you're about to do. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, why don't you high five the person next to you and say, you can be my homie, but Jesus ain't my homie. It's funny how I talked a little bit about proximity and reverence, but you know, you can kind of revere someone from afar too. You know, like there's those famous people. Have you ever encountered anyone famous, like in real life, like in the real world? And like you kind of are in awe, aren't you? You're like, oh my gosh, it's them in the flesh. There's a sense of reverence about it. Well, I can remember being like that with my husband. You know, your first love, there's this sense of reverence around it. And I just want you to just, if you're like, oh, she's going to talk about the mushy, lovey stuff, yeah, and just deal with it, okay? I have so many love stories because my husband has loved me so well. And I'm going to use all of them in this message. So just be okay with it. But when we first got, like, met each other, it was like, you know when he enters the room. I was like, I would know when I drove past the church and his car was parked out the front. I was like, today's the day to look hot, okay? Adam's at church today, you know? Like you would know when he was in the room because he was unfamiliar to me. It was like a new aspect. It was like someone I respected and liked but was starting to love, and I really cared that he was in the room. And so, you know, when it's unfamiliar, it's special. And so every time I would, you know, come around him and hang out with him, it was so special. You're just like, oh, I hung out with Adam. It was so cool. You know, he said this and everybody's like, who cares? We don't care about Adam. Not as much as I did anyways. You know, he would do something funny and then I would just have like this funny smirk on my face later, recalling in my head what he had done. And someone would be like, hey, what do you got that funny smirk on your face for? I'm like, oh, it's just something Adam did, you know? It's this sense of reverence that you have and an unfamiliarity. But, you know, then you get married and what was unfamiliar becomes really familiar. So the guy who I used to get excited about seeing maybe once a week on a Sunday, now I'm seeing him every day. And so it's very, very familiar. So now I go to bed with him at night and he's still there in the morning. And then I leave in my own car to come to work and he's here too, because we work together. And then like, we've been married 22 years. And honestly, marriage can be awesome, okay? And so 22 years we've been married, and at the end of the day, we will get home and we will sit out in our backyard and we'll watch the sunset some days, and he will look at me and he will say, I miss you. And I think it's so interesting, isn't it, that after we do so much proximity together, after we see each other and are around each other all the time, that he can still at the end of the day say to me, I miss you. What does he mean when he's communicating that to me? He means that, yeah, I saw you. We talked to each other, but we haven't sat together. We haven't, you know, made a heart connection with each other. And, you know, I think this is so interesting because we can be like this with God all the time. We can be around the things of God. We can even have our Bibles open. We can read our daily verse of the day or a daily scripture Bible reading plan, but make no heart connection with God. We can come to church on Sundays and we can serve and we can go through the motions and we can get through to the end without talking to too many people, you know, and then make it to the parking lot and go into a whole nother week again. Without a heart engagement with God, we can go about this all the time like this. And God, I just feel like God is saying, hey, Vive Church, I miss you. I'm looking for some heart engagement and some heart connection with you. I don't want you to just be those who work for me. I want you to be those who worship me. I'm not just content with your presence in your seat right now. I want your passionate worship. God is saying, I'm after your heart. Some of you have drifted, but it's okay. I'm here to call you back to me again. And so that's the kind of tension that I want to build around what I want to speak about today, because I want to ask you a question we should all ask ourselves around the topic of reverence, and that is, have I drifted from God? Is there like, did I used to be closer to him at some point than I am right now? Have I forgotten in the busyness of life and the busyness of doing all the amazing things that I do and maybe even holy things and maybe even good things that I do for God, have I forgotten to be with God? Have I forgotten to put him first in my life? See, I don't know about you, but I remember when I first encountered Jesus. Man, I was the first one to church on Sundays. I was like, I cannot wait for them to open those doors. You know, and coming into the house of God, and like everyone's happy here, like most people. And the ones who are not happy are the ones who are new, and then they'll be happy soon. But you come into this space and it's like the presence of God. Like what we just experienced in worship, my heart would burn as I just began to hear God talk to me. My heart was on fire for him. I didn't care about what I looked like. I just loved being in his presence. And I yearned for it. And sometimes, you know, when we get to know God a minute and we get on the team and we get serving and we get into church and it becomes a little bit ritualistic, a little bit tradition, and we find ourselves going through the motions and the very thing that we are meant to do out of reverence becomes a little bit more about familiarity, and we undermine the reverence that we should have for him because it's just become something that we do and we forget why we do it. You see, I think it's interesting because, you know, in some of us used to go to God and he was our first resort. It's like, okay, I don't know what to do, God, so I'm just going to come running to you. But then we get married and then our spouse is the first resort because they can physically talk back to us. And it's way less effort to then read the word. And then God becomes our last resort. You know, they just bounce it off God later on, you know. It's like, you know, there's times where we come into worship and, you know, if you think about when you first fell in love with Jesus, man, I was on every altar call. Like I responded, like there was like five services in the day. I responded all five altar calls. And I was like, yes, Jesus, I need you, clean me up. And now we rock into church and we have arms folded in worship, or we maybe give him like a half hand or like maybe a one hand worship. The savior of your life. You know, we come into our relationship with God and we get so hurried in our life. Our lives are busy. We are Silicon Valley people. We work 4-5 jobs, you know, and then our kids are, you know, the entrepreneurial endeavors that we are investing in for the future, and we're creating startups and we've got our businesses and life is hectic. And so we prioritize everything else. We prioritize the kids. We prioritize our marriages. We prioritize our friendships. We prioritize our sporting, we prioritize our workout regime, we prioritize our eating regime. But then at the end of the day, God gets the leftovers. He used to get the first, but now he gets the last. And so I want to talk about this because it's so important, the most precious of our relationships can slip into, drift into familiarity. And the one that we cannot afford to drift is our relationship with Jesus. And so that's why I camped us in this passage of scripture today to talk about Jesus in his hometown context, because it's in the familiarity of things. And so you have his hometown peeps, and we all have them, right? Like when I go back to Newcastle, Australia, I don't have a cute accent. I just sound like the rest of them. Nobody thinks I'm awesome, you know? But here, everybody thinks my accent's pretty cool. And so Jesus, you know, in his hometown, he had the same thing going on. They're just like, oh, that's just Jesus. Like, he grew up here. He's the little boy that got lost at the synagogue all the time because he stayed behind and his parents were always looking for him. He's the one where we know his sisters and we know his brothers. And by the way, his brothers didn't even believe in him until after he died. They're like, we know his father, his adopted father, Joseph. Like, they understood. And they're all in the hood together. And they're like, we all know each other. Everybody knows everything about everybody's business because that's what happens in a small town like this. And so they're not amazed at Jesus. They're not looking at him going, wow, where did he get that power from? No, no, it's the opposite. They're asking, who put you in charge, Jesus? Like, you're just one of us. You're the boy next door. You've now become part of our neighborhood. And you see, the problem with this is that when we become that familiar with Jesus, like these men and women were doing, familiarity will nullify Jesus functioning in your life. Because you'll just back pocket him as, you know, somebody who, you know, you hang out with and who counsels you when you're sad, but you don't have him in a place of power. Jesus doesn't want to be the boy next door. He wants to be not familiar to you at all. He wants to be intimate with you. He wants to be in relationship with you on the regular, but he doesn't want you to treat him as common. He wants to be first. And so the mechanism that I'm going to help us implement in our lives to help us from drifting into the waters of familiarity is to have a discipline of first. You see, all of us will be challenged in this area because all of us live busy lives and all of us can drift. There's been many times in my Christian walk, many, many times where I have been able to do what it is that God has called me to do, but my heart wasn't in it. And that scares me, to have moments where God is so kind and he calls you unto himself and he wakes you up. It requires work. It requires intentionality. It requires effort to keep something your first love. You see, like, you just ask people who've been married for a minute. You know, like, when you first start dating, you're always dating. And you're going out on dates and everything's fun and everything's amazing. And all the things that you did when you were first in love, you kind of relax on later on. And you just become familiar. You're like, oh, we're married. He's stuck with me now. You know, I don't have to wear makeup anymore. I don't need to look nice anymore. He's just, you know, he's stuck with me now. It's life. And some of us can be like that with God. Well, we've got forever. We've got eternity. So I'll treat today casual. And Jesus is like, no, no, I want your heart and I want it now and I want it today. And so there's something about this that I want to dig into a little more, because when something becomes familiar, it carries less weight. You know, like in the early years of our relationship, me and Adam, he would say stuff to me and I would be like, oh my gosh, it carried so much weight. You know, even the jokes, like, oh, the jokes were really funny in the beginning. But later on, they're not that funny anymore. It's like, okay, I just sit there while he makes other people laugh now with the same old jokes I've heard for 22 years. But you see, when something starts to be so familiar, it starts to begin to carry less weight, right? And so when something of less weight in your mind or someone of less weight in your mind makes a bold claim, we get offended. And this is exactly what's happening with these people. they're offended. They took offense. You see, in their minds, they're like, I know who Jesus is. I knew him from my childhood. I'm disinterested in any information he has to offer me. And I'm also insulted with the idea that someone like Jesus could be so important. And it's like the sense of this passage is that these Nazarenes, they just thought their hometown boy, their homie, was trying to rise above his place. I think it's so interesting because we see this time and time again in Scripture, because when Jesus comes to teach them who he is and he reads Isaiah in the scroll in the synagogue, and like he says, okay, it is fulfilled in your midst, and does his like scroll drop moment, they get so enraged. There's another time where he's back in his hometown and they try to push him off a cliff. So much so that Jesus responds like this in our passage of Scripture, and he says, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown, in his hood, amongst his homies, his relatives. You see, I think it's interesting because this phenomenon is partly summed up in the English language as a phrase that we would say, familiarity breeds contempt. And you see, this is the place where we are exposed to certain things or we are exposed to certain people and we tend to take that for granted. We tend to take, you know, the way that we are doing life with them for granted. We miss their value and we can become kind of dogmatic about how they can be used in our life or what they can say and the weight they can say and have in our life. And here's the warning for us, Vive Church, is that if you just have Jesus as your friend, you are going to nullify Jesus in your life. You will make him invalid. You'll make him ineffective in your life because Jesus ain't your homie. Jesus is holy. We got to get him back out of the friend zone and back into the reverence zone of our life. See, some of you have been wondering why. Why am I not seeing the power of Jesus in my life? It's because you get offended every time he encourages you to do something. It's like, oh, I invited you in, but I just want you to be my cozy friend. I don't want you to be my Lord. I don't want you to tell me how to behave. I don't want you to tell me what's best for me. I just want you to make me feel good about who I am and where I'm at. That's not the kind of Jesus that you should want to be friends with. Jesus ain't your homie. He's holy. And so today I want to unpack three areas that we can work on to see and inspect our heart and our lives where we have become overly familiar with God so that we can get our reverence back. I'm going to talk about three things. I'm going to ask us to go to God first. I'm going to ask us to get from God first. And I'm going to ask us to give to God first, because these are all the areas that are going to bring you back into a right relationship with God so you can have real reverence in your life. You see, when Adam and I first got together, we thought we had everything in common. Like, you know, when it's kind of like when you first meet Jesus, you're like, oh, Jesus, we have so much in common. And then you get to know the Jesus in the Bible and you're like, wow, we're very different. And so it was like that with me and my husband. I was like, we are so the same. He is so amazing. He's like the boy version of me. We were just meant to be. And then you get married. And, you know, it's like, so I would like make dinner in the evenings and I would play Michael Bublé. Any other Michael Bublé fans out there? Okay. All right. It's just like the atmosphere of the house. See, I'm not alone. I knew I wasn't alone. And I would like pour a glass of wine at the end of the day. I've got children, right? Like first 10 years of marriage, like at the end of the day, a glass of wine while I make a baked dinner for my husband and I bath my children. It's the most amazing combination. And then Michael Bublé. So he would come home to this amazing environment and I just thought he loved the same music that I loved until I cornered him one day and he was like, I said, what music do you like? And he goes, well, I don't like Michael Bublé. I was like, oh, who are you and who did I marry? Like for the last 10 years, I thought you liked him. you don't like him? He's like, no, I like country music. I'm like, oh, I married my father. And so we thought it was so the same. And it's so interesting that when we're in relationships, we like to project onto the other person who we want them to be. It's almost like we tell ourselves, no, this is who you are because this is who I can cope with being with. And it's like we do that in our relationship with God. But we need to understand that when we're in a relationship, when we're in a relationship with someone who is not us. So they have different proclivities, they have different likes, they have different things that they are wanting and needing in life. And so I'm in a relationship with another person, it's not me, it's an entirely different human being, and I need to get to know them and who they are through their self-revelation. And so it's interesting because, you know, like they have to define who they are. I can't project onto them who they are. They have to tell me who they are. I have to listen, and then I have to respond and love them the way that they want to be loved. Well, God is a person. And Jesus here, he's unpacking in his teaching in the hometown. He's like self-revelating. He's saying, this is who I am. I'm trying to tell you that I'm the savior of the universe. I'm trying to tell you that I'm the Messiah. And he's self-defining, and they just refuse to accept it. You see, it's like with my husband, you know, we're in a relationship and I can't do whatever I want in my relationship with Adam because he's another human being. I don't get to just rock up with my bad self and misbehave. There's rules of engagement for how we're going to get on with each other. There's rules of engagement of how I can love him best, of how I can love him well. And so this is the same with our relationship with God. See, the problem is when you treat Jesus like your homie, you can project onto him who you want him to be, but that is not in fact who he is at all. And God says, I'm a person, I'm a real person, and I'm in relationship with you. And you need to understand who I am and what I like. And let me tell you something about God. He likes to be first. He's like you and me and my husband. Nobody likes to be second best. We all want to be first. But God is saying, I am the ultimate. I want you to come to me. I want you to love me first. You see, when I fell in love with Adam, he was a surfer skater boy. And he was very cute and cool. And he's still cute and cool today. But the thing is, when you fall in love, like you want to go to that person first. Like when you wake up in the morning, they're the first person you think about. You're like, oh, I can't wait to tell Adam what I'm thinking about. I can't wait to tell him my dreams. I can't wait to tell him what happened in my day. He's the person who I want to call the most, the one who I want to go to first. You see, where do you go first? See, when there's a tension, when there's a struggle, when there's something going on in your life, where do you go first? Because where you go first is where you love. And for some of us, those will be objects. For some of us, those will be things. For others of us, it will be people. And we can be running to all the wrong things first when God is saying, I just want you to run to me first. See, some of us used to do that, and I'm calling you back to that today. You used to wake up in the morning and be so excited about reading your Bible, but you're just so busy to do it now. And he's like, oh, I miss you. I want to hear your voice in the morning. I want to speak to you in the morning. I want to give you the things that you need to conquer your day. I want to help you with your marriage. I want to help you with your parenting. I have the answers. They're here. I've got a plan. They're all in here. Would you seek me first? He's like, I miss you. You used to tell me your dreams. Now you tell your spouse, or now you tell your friend, or now you tell somebody else, your business partner, but bring them to me. I got innovative ideas. I've got my spirit I want to put on it. I got things I want to say and add that you couldn't conceive or conjure up in your own mind, but I got some things for you. Would you just come and see me first? You see, the second thing that we need to do is we need to get from God first. It's one thing to go to God first, but it's a whole other thing to get from God first. When we get all of these things out of order, that's when we just drift. And so, you know, what you love first has the power to define you. You know, the person that you pursue, the thing that you feel is so important that you revere, that's the thing that you put weight on to give you value. That's the thing that can speak affirmation over you. It's the thing that tells you how much you're worth. And so many of us get our affirmations from all the wrong places. We look for it in our spouse. We look for it from our kids. We look for it from society. We look for it from other people's opinions of us. Our lives are destroyed if somebody thinks badly of us. It's like, you know, our value we get from our jobs. We get from our grades if we're in high school. Or, you know, we have so many things that we get our value and our worth from that we draw from, maybe even relational status. And these are all areas that are trying to define you and tell you who you are, but they can never do those things. Our job is to go to God first, the creator of the universe, the one who put you and knit you in your mother's womb, the one who created you with a plan and with a purpose and can give you the power to accomplish it. We're to go to the one for definition that can define us. And you see, when I fell in love with Adam, you know, he would pick me up on dates. And, you know, when he picked me up one day, I thought I looked fabulous. Like, oh my gosh, if only you could know the way that I used to dress. Nobody actually needs to. It was horrendous. Like, think Phoebe from Friends. That was Kira from Newcastle. And so I turn up to the front door in this fabulous purple fur coat. And I think I look fabulous. I was 90s fabulous, let me tell you. And I open the door and my boyfriend at the time, Adam, he looks at me and he goes, oh, so we're going to dress up today, are we? I just closed the door slowly and shut it. I ran into my bedroom. I changed my outfit as fast as I could. I was like, he is worth the change. And then I went back out to meet him. I gave the fur coat to my youth girls and they circled it around for 6 months in the youth ministry because they were sadly following my fashion advice. But it's like, I cared about what he said because I loved him. I was getting my affirmations from him. I was getting my worth from him. I was, because I love him. You see, some of us used to do that with God. And we've gone to our spouse and we've gone to all these other people. We've gone to our jobs and our bosses to define us. And God is saying, oh, but you used to run into my presence and you used to let me define you. You used to let me tell who you are. You used to let me love on you so that you were not needy and looking for love from everybody else. I was filling you and you were flowing out. There's this like, you used to not be depressed because I was filling you with what you needed. I gave you the answers that you couldn't find anywhere else, and you were flowing out of that space. Such health in the relationships around you, but none of your relationships look like that anymore because there's been a backflow. And so it's like, God's like, I loved when you came in to worship me like you did. I loved when you got bold and you stood in your seat and you clapped when you agreed with something and it didn't matter to you that your friends didn't care about it because you were defined by the one that defines you. And you had some convictions that maybe this world didn't have and maybe this world didn't understand, but you were standing for me. Oh, I miss when you used to just come running with gifts for me. You know, like we used to get so creative about the ways that we would worship God, bringing in offerings, bringing our praise. But what we did at first, we became familiar with. You see, the third area that we need to work on, and maybe is an area for some, is we need to give to God first. You see, your first love is where you give your first. Like every time a paycheck would come through, I was like, how can I do something for Adam? Like, how can I bless him? He went on this crazy boys trip, snowboarding. You know how boys are? They're silly, right? We love you boys, but you get yourself into trouble and you encourage each other to do dangerous things. And so him and his brothers and his friends decided they were gonna snowboard down this mountain at night. You know, it's bad enough in the day, in broad daylight, but they decided, being the daredevils that they are, that they were gonna go down, and they weren't just gonna go down the mountain in the dark. They were gonna do front flips, and they were gonna hit up the park. And so my husband, he does this like forward front flip, nearly makes it twice through, but only does one and a half. So he face plants into the mountain. When he face plants into the mountain, he becomes concussed. And they're like, hey, do you know your own name? He's like, yeah, I know my name. It's Adam Smallcombe. They go, do you have a girlfriend? And he goes, yeah, she's hot. And they go, but do you know her name? And he's like, Kira. But he couldn't remember my maiden name because we were not married at the time. We were just dating. He goes, Kira Smallcombe. I was like, when that got back to me, I was like, baby, my paycheck came through. I'm just going to pay for this snowboard of yours. I'll pay for every boys trip that you want to have. Like, whatever you need, like, empty my bank account. I love you. Whatever it costs, you're amazing. You see, when you're in love, it's like, whatever it costs. When you're in love with God, it's the same. Whatever it costs, if it costs me my time, if it costs me my money, if it costs me my tithe, if it costs me to bring my first into the house of God, I'm gonna do it. If it costs me my voice, if it costs me my pride, if it costs me, I'm gonna give it to you, God, because I love you, whatever the cost, because I adore you. You can stand to your feet. See, the question that I want us all to answer before God today is to ask ourselves, have I drifted? You're not asking this question for your spouse or your kids, and you don't get to chat to them about it on the way home. But you get to ask yourself honestly in the presence of God, have I drifted a little? Have I drifted a smidge? Have I drifted a lot? Is this my first time that I'm back in church since, like, it seems like years? But I find myself strangely in this place that I was drawn to, and I don't know why. Someone invited me, but I'm here. I just feel like God wants to locate you today. And I feel like you need to hear not God being condemning, but God saying to his daughters and God saying to his sons, I love you and I miss you. I miss your first offering. I miss your first moment of praise in the morning. I miss those first words that we exchanged together. I miss being a part of innovating with you. I miss being a part of being able to be creative and fulfill all the plans that I have for your life. I miss being able to be your healer. I miss being able to have the power to do what only I can do in your world because I'm not first. And so I want to create an atmosphere right here, right now, where we can be reverent and where we can steward our hearts and say, I'm going to respond today, Jesus. I have drifted. I acknowledge it's been a little. I acknowledge it's been a lot. But that area of my life that I've kept from you, I'm going to bring back to you right now.
Hey, I hope you were blessed by that message. We release new content every single week here at Vive Church. And so if you don't want to miss any of it, I would encourage you, go ahead and subscribe. Also visit our website, vivechurch.org, to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the life of Vive Church. God bless you.